Picture this. Columbia University, New York, 1901. Alfred Kroeber, at 24, received the first PhD in anthropology, one of the first six granted in America. His dissertation was on decorative symbolism in Arapaho art. With a fixation on holism, history, and the importance of fieldwork as his philosophy, Kroeber set out on a quest to study people. He helped found the anthropology department at UC Berkeley. During his tenure, in an article still famous after almost 100 years, Kroeber described culture as super organic. Human culture is more than atoms, more than molecules, more than life and living things, more than how things function, more than natural laws. Culture can only be understood in cultural terms, and culture is super organic. You're listening to the Super Organic, aka the Super O Show, with Professors Mark Joshua Gordon and Alexis Altunian, where we find culture everywhere and in everything. So stay tuned right here on the Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, at www.lancerradio.org.
Thanks for tuning in today. We're going to be talking about dating. And when I say dating, I don't mean radiocarbon dating. We're not going to be trying to figure out how old people are or how old ancient bones are, although I think there is an application in that to some of the people that you might find online when you try, when you try dating some of these people. We're going to talk a little bit about what the dating scene is like, how it applies to anthropology or how anthropology applies to it, and what happens when you go out with someone who says they're 26, but it's more like 126. So maybe radiocarbon dating could be used here. I don't know, but I know that I'm here with my partner in crime, Alexis Altunian, Professor Altunian, and my other partner in crime, Meredith Louise Thomas, who's our guest today.
Oh, he threw in the middle name.
I did. I think
you used it. Sounds like my mother.
No.
You're not in trouble. Don't worry.
I think more Thelma and Louise is how I see it.
Oh, okay.
She is a comedian and an actress extraordinaire. And a dating expert because she has dated, I think, everyone in Southern California?
Pretty much. I left New Hampshire after I got through with the university football team, and now I'm...
Thanks,
Mark.
Once the Eastern Seaboard was taken care of, you moved west, the Oregon Trail.
Headed west,
I kid. She actually is an expert in all things related to relationships and hosts, in addition to other things that she does, speed dating events, which are going to be unique for some of you listeners, so we're going to want to talk about exactly what that is and how it applies to culture. All sorts of good stuff is happening.
And we're going to throw in the academic, because that's what I'm here for. I'm the nerd, if you haven't figured this out by now.
I'm a nerd, too.
Oh, yeah. I think I am more of one than you are.
So tell us, nerd, what do you have in store?
I want to bring in Darwin. I know he's not that sexy figure, but he's a great person to start with. He wrote the book literally on sexual selection. So everybody knows Origin of the Species. 1859, huge production. People were interested, clamored over this book. It outsold all of its first edition. And then he alluded to this sexual selection, this mate choice and mate selection, like natural selection. And then he left it. He just sort of put it out there for the Victorian world, you know, where they dressed with their, like, collars up to here. You can't see that because it's radio. But they dressed in such a formal way and they didn't talk about sexuality, yet he articulated one of the most interesting principles, why we're attracted to what we are naturally and how it allows us to propagate our species. And so 1871, he comes out with this other book, literally The Descent of Man, Selection in Relationship to Sex. What a great topic. What a great way to sell a book. And I think Meredith and her insight are going to be perfect for this academic endeavor.
I tend to agree. And just a quick aside to show you that I am indeed a nerd as well. A lot of people have opined about why he called it the descent of man and not the ascent of man, mm-hmm. since most people see mankind as, you know, the crowning achievement of whatever created us or whatever natural process did that. So in any event, I'll tell you a quick funny story about me, and then we'll figure out what Meredith has.
Oh,
to
funny story. I have a feeling this day is going to be full of them.
A quick funny story. The sexiest present I ever received on Valentine's Day was the annotated works of Charles Darwin. And I know that doesn't sound particularly sexy, but it had all sorts of it was this big. Again, radio, you can't see what I'm doing right now, but I mean it was a heck of a big set of books. Mm. And it included the Voyage of the Beagle and on the Origin of Species and the Descent of Man and some other stuff that no one's ever read, but it was pretty amazing. So tell us, this thing you call sexual selection, what is that?
Well, first we should start with fitness. And I don't mean the fitness that implies that somebody has washboard abs and looks great. It, in fact, means how well they can reproduce,
right.
How well they can survive and reproduce, and what they can offer to their offspring in terms of healthy, fit genes. And there's this really great imperative that I use in class. I talk about the showy male and the choosy female. So the showy male in the natural kingdom has this bright plumage, beautiful feathers. They're very, very, very attractive. Yet, they're meant to attract females, yet simultaneously attract predators. So the perfect and often used example is the peacock, because the male is so flamboyant and the female so plain. And so, Meredith, I think it's fascinating that in humans, sexual selection has changed quite a bit, where men and women are both very showy and can be ostentatiously be showy. Yet we've sort of changed the game when it comes to what fitness is and reproduction. And we don't measure our relationships in sexual selection as primates, but we can usually apply this theory. So what do you think? Showy male, choosy female. Do we still see this imperative? What do you guys think?
I think that we absolutely do. I a lot of what I write about is very much along the lines of what you guys teach, in that we have changed, but there is a biological element to us as a species that hasn't changed. And when it comes to a man looking for a mate, I don't even know that it's a conscious thing, but yes, fertility, youth and fertility. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when we talk about chemistry, that youth and fertility comes into play, and power and prestige still comes into play when looking for a man. Now, I'm not saying that we consciously go about that, but we are still innately from our biology going, hey, this is a potential father of my children. Mm-hmm. And the male is still looking at women and saying, can she reproduce with me? Can the species live on with this human being? You know, and so I talk a lot, and it's not, I don't think it's a really popular subject, because we want to believe that we've maybe grown past that, and, you know, we can have it all, and we don't need a man. I mean, I could have a baby without you. I don't need, you know, I have my own car, my own house, but my biology has not caught up to that idea.
That is such a good point. We think of, like, evolution as something we can read about in a textbook, and we don't necessarily think about how it relates to sexual selection and our dating lives, our relationships, and how we cultivate these. But I think you said that so very well and so very eloquently, because we do care about these things, but then we're concerned about the fact that we care about them, at least from a very Western perspective. These are things that people care about. And even from a non-Western, cross-cultural perspective, parents want the best for their children. And very often, if a daughter is married off, they want her to be married off to a man who makes more money than she does. And she's going to be educated, but perhaps to the liking of that family who might, I don't know, see that their son marries her. So we still use sexual selection.
Wouldn't you say, though, that this thing we call culture, the super organic, if you will, has kind of trumped biology, at least to some extent, in the sense that, well, at least the way I see it, is that each home or expensive car or boat or mansion or yacht that you own seems to take off about 30, 40 pounds of weight. When you're dating. At least that's my experience.
I see. That was a joke, everybody. That was a joke.
Well, I'm not a crazy fond of a particular matchmaker, and I won't mention her name, but said this, but I think
I know who it is.
Okay, but she said, you know, when a man stands on his millions, he's 6 feet tall. Something, I'm paraphrasing. So That, yes, that is true. Sadly, I think that's why we see, and I see it in my dating world, is we will see a man who has many years on a woman dating a younger, more a woman who is still fertile, who still can offer a child, and they have the money to be able to have that woman, and it's not a particularly attractive or pretty idea when you put it in those terms, but that's still there. I agree with our parents. Our parents as adults of young women, you want to make sure, even though we can take care of ourselves, there's still something that you want to be sure we're taken care of.
Apparently, the 6 foot, and I'm sensitive about this,
okay,
but not that sensitive that I can't joke about it too. The 6 foot tall, paradigm that you were just talking about, it wasn't just that woman who shall remain nameless who said that.
Uh-huh.
Really quickly, should I call this person out? I'm looking right now at an online dating profile which I have saved a lot of them. Should I say who it is? Is that gonna?
Okay. Well,
yeah.
You want people?
I'm gonna
anonymity.
Read what,
online is such not a safe place, but we'll try to keep it a little safer because you know what? We want people to put themselves out there and find love, and you don't want to be embarrassed for that. But I do want to know. Maybe we could alter it enough that we could get in the idea.
Tell me how attractive this would be for you if you were reading this profile here. Hey, I'm a French Moroccan, American born woman living in LA. I work hard and I have strong values. I'm easygoing and love new adventures, spontaneous, sensitive, loyal, brutally honest. I don't know since when being brutally honest is a good thing, but anyway, compassionate, reliable, just a teeny bit shy, outgoing, talkative, helpful, caring, clean, and active. My one and only rule, other than being fill in the blank ethnicity, is that you must be at least 6 feet tall.
Ah.
And I'm thinking, like, what? That sounded pretty...
Well, I think that if a man said that, would I be offended? My only rule would be that you are a C or greater. Mm-hmm. That would be... I would think, well, okay. But then on the other hand, I would say, well, you know what? Good. I'm glad that I'm not his cup of tea, and I'm glad to know it. And I don't want to waste my time with. I think that the profile in general is kind of silly. I would write a better profile for this gal. But no, I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't a man, culturally speaking, in our society anyway, be labeled a chauvinist just right off the bat if he said, you know what? Sorry, call it evolution or whatever, but I'm only attracted to women with fill in the blank cup size.
Yeah, I
is that different from requiring a certain height? Because quite honestly, ladies, if I was 5 feet someday, I would be so happy.
You mean 6 feet?
Yeah,
I was joking. I meant 5 feet. the fact of the matter is, some people can't be 6 feet, and there's nothing they can do. And so what does that relegate us to? We should go to like the elephant graveyard or something and take a nap under a tree with a blanket. I mean,
Well, there's something here. I think there's a double standard that we need to talk about.
I think there is, but I bet there are some men that say some pretty sexist things on their profile about what they want physically in a woman.
I saw an episode of a show, one of these reality shows, where this man was requiring that she groom herself in a certain way. And I felt worse than I feel right now on too many laxative chocolates. It was so horrible from her perspective. I would have just wanted to shut down if I was on the date with this guy. Fortunately, I wasn't on the date with that mm-hmm. guy, but she was. And honestly, people are mean. Is that evolutionary?
Well, there's some rough dating experiences, and I think we need to talk about those. What do you guys think? Rough dating experiences?
Absolutely.
Maybe
we should shine some light on dating.
We'll be back soon with rough dating experiences, www.lanceradio.org.
Pasadena City College Learning Assistance Center, in partnership with Smart Thinking, Inc., is offering free online tutoring services to students. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The service allows students to upload screenshots, pictures, or a PDF of a problem into a virtual whiteboard that can be accessed by both the student and the teacher. For more information about the LAC's free online tutoring service, contact John Wood at 626 626- 585-7751.
PCC offers a free shuttle service for students who wish to travel between the main campus, the Allen Avenue Gold Line Station, and the Community Education Center. The shuttle service operates Monday through Thursday, 6:30 a.m. to 10:45 p.m., and Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., with departures every 15 to 30 minutes from each location. For more information, call 626-585-7223.
Hey, anthropologists, we're back here on the Super O Show, www.lanceradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds, Lancer Radio Network, and we're talking today about dating with Meredith Louise Thomas, dating expert extraordinaire.
Meredith Thomas is just fine. We've known each other long enough.
Okay. We're on a first name basis now, yeah. Huh? So we were talking before the break about this double standard that exists. And I'm trying not to be too sensitive here. It might be my, you know, my time of October towards the end of the month to start, you know, feeling the way that I'm starting to feel. That and the laxative chocolates are making me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good. But I wanted to read you just briefly another person's profile who I'm not going to call out, but we see it again with this online dating, you know. Situation that, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because I'm an anthropologist, I've had to learn a lot about and be a part of, both formally and informally. You'll tell us a little bit more about your ideas on this, Meredith, but listen to this and tell me if this is attractive to you.
Okay.
I'm a licensed massage therapist. I'm looking for someone who has every other characteristic I'm looking for, but who is this person's not literate either,
yeah.
But who is willing to become a licensed massage therapist. I don't know what that means. Anyway, kidding-ish aside, she says,
I'm looking
for someone who has an appreciation for quality scripted television, is quick-witted, understands the rules of grammar, is employed, is respectful.
You're making this up.
No, I'm not.
I don't know that this is a real person. Yeah.
Is respectful, is passionate, and is tall.
This is a robot.
That's her requirement.
This is a bot.
Isn't there a place that they can check how tall they want someone so that they don't have to put it out there in such a fashion?
It's redundancy.
Yeah.
Meredith.
Well, okay, I'm not defending these people and their profiles, but I do want to say that as a woman, you do get hit on by a lot of people who are
short.
No, who are not in the range of what you're looking for. And so I've seen women get so frustrated by getting hit on by, like, let's say men that were so far out age-wise above where they were comfortable dating. And they finally had to go out. They get jaded and they say, you know, no, just no more. Like, they're looking for one thing and then they keep getting. So I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I wouldn't put, I don't know. There's sites that ask if you're the men that you're looking for, what they make. I mean, that's part of the game. We live in a society that we're putting it all out there.
And these questions are written by anthropologists.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. It's
blame the anthropologists.
Yeah, as blame them for everything, for God's sake.
So I keep I keep telling everyone that you are an expert extraordinaire in the areas of entertainment, dating, and all things cultural. Tell us a little bit more about the stuff that you've done and the things you're working on and speed dating or you know, whatever that is for people who don't know.
Okay. Well,
the uninitiated. Right? That's
the uninitiated.
What anthropologists would call them.
I would absolutely say you should, if you are single and you have not put that on your bucket list, I would do it. I think it's such an interesting experiment to see. You definitely see a cross-culture of people and different personalities. And as an actor, because that's what I brought first and foremost, I'm an actor, to study how people behave under these situations is such a treat for me. But so I am an actor since I was very young, and I started hosting these speed dating events. It seemed, you know, what could be better? I help people find love. I go to a bar, have a drink. I talk to nice people that are honestly looking for a relationship. And along the way, I found that I had something really unique to say from observing. I was going through a divorce shortly before I started doing the speed dating. So I had my own issues with dating. And suddenly I'm a single woman who never thought she'd be single again. And I'm out there in the world. And I became a unwitting guru because I was in it. And that matched with the fact that I was writing stand-up comedy on relationships. It just was the perfect match for me of studying human beings and looking for love myself. And so just to let you know how speed dating works, we get I guarantee with my company that you'll meet 8 people of the opposite sex, so you'll come back for free. So you get 8 or more mini dates, which are 5 minutes long, in a short, but depending on how many people attend, between an hour to an hour and a half, up 2 hours at most, period. You get to sit down, see if there's that chemistry. You're cutting out a lot of time that you may have spent online looking at profiles, like Mark mentioned before. Possibly looking at a picture that's 10 years old, possibly someone's brother, maybe stolen off of a millionaire's LinkedIn site. You know, so instead of that, you actually get to cut away that and sit down and sit across from someone and see if there is that actual physical chemistry that we are all chasing that is inexplicable to some. And maybe you guys say it's not inexplicable. Well, there's a smell, there's a lot of things that come into play when we sit across for 5 minutes from that human being.
So what you do is you take notes on how the date's going, and then you go on a website? Is
you
that
go
how
on a website, but how I've changed it now so that you can take the notes to keep, but you let me know who you match with, and I will let you know later who you matched with. So there's no rejection face-to-face. There's no 2 hours sitting across from someone that you knew in hello that this was not who you'd hoped they'd be.
So by the time you're tired of them, it's time to move on to someone else.
Yeah, and you can politely say goodbye, and no one has to there's a lot of rejection. You know, acting and dating are very similar. You go on a lot of auditions, and you get a few of the jobs. You know, a few of them are the right fit. But you suit up, and you show up, and you put on your lipstick, and you present the best self that you know. And hopefully it's the best truthful self that for both acting and dating that you could bring to the table. And then you say, are you buying? Does this fit for you? And so when you get sensitive, Mark, I just want to say, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I am a flat-chested, petite blonde. So I'm not going to work for everyone. I'm not. Like, men who want big breasts, don't ask me out. Good. Don't ask me out. If I'm not what you want, let's take that off the table. So I would encourage you to be less offended.
I'm joking. I'm not really that offended. But, I do wonder, we're anthropologists, evolutionarily, what is it in height that makes a woman think this is the biology that nature has sought for us to try and find?
It's the hunter-gatherer thing. It's
is that
the
what
fact,
it is?
It is the fact that no matter how strong and how many infomercials and gyms that I go to, a man will always be able to overpower me.
And I think the media drives this, right? Mm-hmm. We explore this. I've taught a class called literally Sex and Gender, and we talk about the construction of gender identities and what's acceptable in masculinity and what's acceptable in femininity. And this spectrum, I think, is really cool because today we see individuals can feel comfortable expressing themselves in a myriad of ways. And we see this in various shows, whether it's Sex and the City or we see this in Girls, right? In another mm-hmm. HBO show. They drive home that these characters have different experiences dating. And I love that Meredith is basically telling us that her work networking these people, she's acting as an ethnographer. She's acting to do participant observation.
What are those things for people
so,
who don't know?
Ethnography is what anthropologists do. We observe and we participate in order to write or produce content about a culture. And I can just see in my mind's eye, the way you describe it, this incredible, like, orchestrated event where people are coming together. There's energy. They feel probably nervous. I imagine they go through the gamut of, like, feelings before and maybe leave elated or maybe feel not as good, but hopefully we'll try it again next time. And I think after having a not so good date experience, that's what it's hard to bounce back from. And I know we said we were going to talk about it. Should we broach this topic? Should we talk about this?
Before we do, I don't want to forget, I know you're writing a book, or you've written a book. Uh-huh. Is this the type of cultural stuff that your book talks about, or what is the book about?
It actually is. I always, I feel like I talk about a lot about the biology, where things haven't changed from when we walked out of the cave, you know, and where they have, and how do we still honor the dance that men and women do with each other, the mating dance, or however. I mean, because ultimately we're going to the same place. We want to nest, we want to have children, and we want to feel that we're a part of a community with someone, and we're chasing that, and it can be so elusive. But yeah, I talk, which is not particularly popular, I think, about that there are things that we can't escape in our biology. There are things that are just innately there, and now how do we handle them in a world where somebody texts you a picture of their washboard abs, or worse, their genitals.
Or uses an app like Tinder to say, we're going to evaluate this person based on phenotypic characteristics only. And this is
physical stuff you can say.
Well, right. Physical, phenotypic, right. And we're anthropologists here.
Yeah, how do we survive and find love in a world like that?
A complicated one.
I'm going to buy it when it comes out, or maybe I may give you
a signed copy if you're lucky.
If I'm lucky, you can address it.
And then you can stand on it and then all of these selective, super selective women profile you.
That's right. So just quickly, I have actually, between you and me, I've tried this speed date. Yes, I've tried
this. So this is the true participant observation.
I've tried speed dating before. I had a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. How could other people reach you if they want to try it?
Well, you can find me specifically at the Meredith Method, which is my website. Check out the matchmaking section. And if you want to come to one of my dates, I primarily promote most of my dates through my meetup site, my three meetup sites. But you can find me in L.A. through Sweet, Savvy, Sexy Singles Speed Dating. So if you find any of those S's and you put it next to speed dating and you go into meetup, you will most likely find me. You'll find my little picture there, and you'll see some of my upcoming events.
That's awesome. Now, we have just a little bit of time, but I want you to tell us your wildest dating or speed dating story. Craziest, bad experience, exciting experience.
I'm
going to tell you one, since I feel... We have 1 minute?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Really quick. Older gentleman came to my very first event. He had gone to the night before and gotten turned down by everyone he went because he was not in the right age demographic. He said to me, I'm going to sit down with every woman and tell her I'm loaded. And because that's what he figured that he wanted. And I said, please do not do that. And he said, no. I said, just don't do that. And I said, so I got to the bottom of what he did for a living, and I had him discuss that. He got the most matches of the night because he didn't assume that only what women wanted. He didn't insult women by saying, I know all you want is for me to be rich. But he was able to show that he had a little bit of money and in an intelligent way, and he got the most matches, and he married a woman from that night.
Wow. Yeah. So it can work then.
Yes.
So there's hope. For our listeners.
Yes, there's hope for everyone.
Do you offer a guarantee that people will get married if you go to your event?
No, but you'll get one of my mom's homemade quilts if I ever get invited to a wedding ever after 7 years.
Love it. Love it. And that's marriage, family, kinship, folks. That's so fun. With every mixtape comes carefully chosen songs and a story. Join host Gabriel Perez for The Mixtape as he invites students and musicians from PCC to share theirs. The Mixtape on Lancer Radio, Fridays at 6 p.m. on lancerradio.org.
Like all great things, our time together must come to an end. Anthropology is a field of study that's as broad or as narrow in scope as the human mind that ponders its wonders. Anthropology teaches us that although every group of people is unique, we're all fundamentally the same. Tune in next week for more Super O Show with Professors Mark Joshua Gordon and Alexis Altunian, where we find culture everywhere and in everything, right here on the Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, on www.lancerradio.org.